presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Stop. Look. Listen. We're number one. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. You like the way I got that, Tony?
Yeah, right, I got you just minute? In time.
Thank you for the cue.
I fooled you.
Hey, who are you?
I'm Dr. Tony Chiffo, and what's your name again?
Palmer. John Palmer.
John Palmer. Yes, I know you. I know you a few
years.
And
the reason why we are partners is because I'm a psychologist, and you need as much help as you can get.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. But you know what? You're a little expensive. I think I deserve a discount, don't you? Yeah, I mean, don't I get some sort of discount?
Listen, you've got so many problems, they're going to double the price.
Okay. Well, welcome, everyone. We got a great show lined up for you. You know, we have a topic that's going to probably touch every one of our listeners. But you know what, Palmer? I'll let you introduce our famous listeners.
Okay. The topic is prayers for our sons and daughters. Is there anyone out there who doesn't have to pray for their son or their daughter? Anyone? All right. Who are you? You got to be kidding. Oh, you're not married. Oh, all right.
John used to be a comedian in his younger days.
I don't remember my younger days. Listen, we have John and Teresa Boucher as our guests today.
And they're wonderful people. They really are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning,
guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Very good.
Welcome. Welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure, and John's going to say, I always say that, but it always is an honor and pleasure when we have guests on our show.
It is, and we agree. But, you know, for the listeners to know, John had the job I have at the Diocese of Rockville Center. He was in charge of the renewal for the whole diocese.
Really?
Yes, he was.
And so, John, did you break John in on the job when he took over?
I think he was the person I went to for counseling.
See, he's always pushing. He's always promoting this guy.
And Teresa wrote the Catholic Manual for Life in the Spirit seminars.
Wow.
And that book, Teresa, was the backbone of the charismatic movement in our diocese and in many other dioceses. And I thank you personally. If you've never received a thank you for that manual, it really is and still is terrific.
I think it was a bestseller, wasn't it, Teresa, of some sort?
It's still doing very well.
It is,
and,
yeah.
I think the strength of it was that it talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, and the sacraments as one reality.
Yes.
Yeah, wow, that's terrific. And so let's get on with the book.
Which one?
Well, let's talk about the book.
Let's talk about the Life of the Spirit seminar first.
Okay, all right.
That's still going on. And you know what's happening? The Life in the Spirit seminars are now into the Spanish communities and into all other different groups besides the people who are ancient like I am. And they've moved across the country. And Teresa, that organized book of yours I used many times in training people to run Life in the Spirit seminars. So I'm going to ask anyone who's interested in doing a Life in the Spirit seminar, get that manual. Get that manual.
Teresa, what spurred you on to write this book? What inspired you? Was it the Holy Spirit? Was it because you felt people didn't know how to do it? Or just what started it?
Well, John asked me, actually, to update it because it was very good about talking, inviting people to a relationship with Jesus, but very weak on inviting people to his body, the church. And there were lots of people who had felt that kind of dichotomy between the two that really doesn't exist except in people's minds. So that's how and it's a million years ago, that's for sure. But
well, it took us about 10 years to get permission to revise the previous version of that, which goes back 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we were on Long Island at the time.
Yeah.
And we worked and worked to get permission. We started to rewrite and redevelop the materials, but we really needed somebody to pull it all together. And Teresa was the person who was willing to do it.
Wow.
How did you both get involved in the life and the spirit? What happened? I'm sorry, Tony, that's your question.
He always does that, but it's okay.
We were both college students, and we went on Antioch retreat weekends for college students given by the same age group. And it was a real, for me, it was an awakening to the idea that I could relate to Jesus personally, but also in the context of a faith community.
And
that's how we met. Oh.
So what the message is in that book, and I think it's a great message, the message I'm getting is that it's a way of relating and communicating with Jesus. Is that
the book that would be most helpful to an individual is called A Prayer Journal for Baptism in the Spirit. It's a little tiny book that costs a couple of dollars, and
yes,
I've gone through it several times myself.
Yeah, and then many people who go through life in the spirit in the country now use that as like a prayer guide as they're going through the weeks or the weekends of the seminar and afterwards,
and
to help them to continue to let Jesus and the spirit work in them and helping them to grow.
And the process is slow, daily, and incremental.
Mm-hmm.
So that God draws you, the spirit draws you deeper and deeper and deeper into his love. And that's the theme that Bishop Murphy is putting out all across our diocese. Belong to Jesus more deeply through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he also has the Marian prayer groups. And I've been told in prayer, it's time for the Marian groups and the charismatic groups to become one. And wouldn't that be something?
Well, that certainly would, but you know what? It's time for all of us to become one.
Amen.
All the religions to become one. There's one God, one God, and we all should know that.
John, how did you get into this? Teresa said she met you at a charismatic group in college. Did you?
Well, actually, it was a little more complicated than that. I made one of these weekends, and then I heard about someone who was as close to God as Mother Teresa, who was working on leading these weekends, but at that point was not on the weekends I was involved with. And when I heard all the good things they were saying about her and how close she was to God, I hated her guts.
He's jealous.
That's grounds for marriage.
Well, you know what? I was going to say that. That's where most relationships start. Except
and
mine,
so
of course.
Over time, when I just please, God, don't ever let me have to work with this person to do anything. And it ended up we were appointed to start working on the same weekends. And I would be put in positions where I was under her leadership. And then a couple of times I was put in as the leader of the weekend, and she was working with me. And I still didn't like her very much. But
Teresa,
are
you
going to
let him say that?
Over a period of time, there was an awakening to the fact that I really thought that she was very more than what I thought, just as a person and somebody in love with God. And I wanted to be in love with God. I wanted to get married in God. And at one point, I just came to realize that she was the one.
It's a marriage made in heaven.
Wow.
With a few bumps along the way.
Yeah, well, you can have everything.
He used to give me rides to prayer meetings, and he'd always be late. And one time I said to him, John, if you can get here on time next week, I will pray for you for the rest of my life. And according to him, he left the house an hour early and arrived exactly on time.
Isn't it wonderful when God works in both parties in the marriage?
Yeah, and God has a sense of humor, too.
Oh, he certainly does.
We've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
So many times.
Well, we're glad that you got married. And we're glad that your work on the Life in the Spirit seminars has paid off handsomely all over Long Island. Everywhere I go, people are in touch with the Spirit. Now, this could be my world because of my work, but I was at a Philippine group last night, over 150 people at the meeting. And there were last night easily 500 people were in prayer groups over the island, if not more.
Thanks be to God.
And that comes from all the work you did and Teresa did in planting the seeds and letting them flourish in the diocese, for which I thank you on behalf of all the prayer groups that have been exposed to the Life in the Spirit seminars and have, through them, come into a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus.
So you're welcome. Thank you.
So you were the guys that planted the seed.
Yes.
I think that's terrific.
Now you have a new book.
Yeah.
Let's hear about the second book. I hope you're going to be marketing this through the charismatic movements and with Walter Matthews in Washington and whatever else you can do. Tell us.
The best place to find us and that book plus all the other books is johnandteresaboucher.com.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Tell us about the book. Are you there?
Yeah. Well, we have long been doing workshops about when people's loved ones stop going to church. Mm. And we've had so many parents like ourselves who have gone through pain and suffering and guilt. I remember when one of our children decided, after being away over the summer, he came back and sat down at the dinner table. And at one point, he stood up and said, "I want to make an announcement. And I'm not going to go to church anymore. I don't want anything to do with this Catholic stuff. I don't want it, anything to do with the church and Jesus and all that." And I went, "Oh, my God," inside. We had just finished chapters in a book called Keeping Your Kids Catholic. And I called the editor the next day, and I said, "You've got to take the chapters out that we've written. They didn't work."
You know how many parents say that, though? Their kids will say,
"Absolutely." Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what he said to me was, he says, "I have 9 kids." He says, "It's a 50-50 mess in my family even now." And he said, "I'm not taking the chapters out. This is good stuff."
Mm-hmm. What did you tell people?
Well, the thing that happened is we actually got a call from the Word Among Us editor named Patty Mitchell, and she asked us to write the book because they had been hearing the same thing, that the people needed a book to help them with their feelings and strategies in terms of when adult children are in trouble. So we pretty much finished talking about the idea of doing it, and at the end of the conversation she said, "Oh, and by the way, have you written any other books?"
Uh-huh.
So it was really their idea, and for us it was a workshop from God in and of itself, just to write it, to face off with all the different feelings that we have about each of our young adults, and to, struggle with some of the strategies that really work in praying for them. One of those, for instance, for me, is to take a photo of that young person and to just look at it and to ask Jesus to touch this person. And there's exercises in the book on how to do various things like that, prayer skills that help.
And that's wonderful. And any parent who's having that kind of a problem should get a hold of that, because I have it in my life. I know, Tony, you have it in yours.
Absolutely. We all have.
You know? Yeah. And I said, "What did I do wrong?" And really, it's not what we've done wrong. It's the culture in which the young people are growing up.
Yes.
And it's what God is calling you to do next.
That's right.
Yeah. And we, personally, we brought our children to Mass every Sunday. We never missed a Sunday.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And say, why has this happened when we tried so hard? But you know what? I think your book is going to be a great help to a great many people, because I do get petitions for prayers for conversion of a listener's children, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can tell the people how they can get the book.
Well, before you do that, Teresa gave us one strategy. You know, John, this is equal partnership. Do you have a strategy you can offer to parents, too?
Oh, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them in the book.
Well, there is, but I think one of the hardest ones is to realize that although we are their parents, we are not the first person that they're going to seek for advice necessarily. And giving them unwanted advice, like nagging, pushing, shoving, throwing, shunning, telling them they're going to go to hell directly, all of these strategies that may have worked in previous generations when we lived in Christian cultures, that is not the way it is today. And so letting go of the whole ways that we've tried to help people come to God and to find new ways to be part of what God is doing in their lives already, learning how to watch for the Spirit already working in their lives, even if they're living a life that's far away from God, far away from Jesus and the church, there's some ways that the Spirit works in everybody's life.
Mm-hmm. So get out of the way and let the Spirit.
Well,
you pray and let the Spirit.
Let me ask you a quick question, if you don't mind. What single bit of advice would you have to give to our listeners for all those that are having or worrying about their children turning to God? Is there any one single thing that you could advise?
Well, the only person that you can change is yourself.
Got it.
And that only can be done through God's love and a new realization of God's love for your young person. And one of the passages that helps me the most is from Ephesians, and I think this is worth someone reading over and over again as they pray. It's Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, and I'll just read a little part of it. I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family and in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, not according to my own ideas, but according to the riches of his glory, he may strengthen your inner being with the power of the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith as you are rooted and grounded in love.
I think that whole thing of remaining rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus for our children is one of the hardest things for us, because we feel hurt and we're tempted to break off relationships when we feel hurt with someone. And my major recommendation to a parent that comes or talks, and even for myself, I have to keep on telling myself that, is don't break the relationship no matter what happens. That's right. Keep relating to them. You will have no capacity to help them when God works in their lives or to be there for them if you have no relationship with them.
I give you an example. We changed the names of our children in the book also, just to protect them. And so our daughter, who we call Rose, was working in costuming and had a chronic back condition that made it very hard for her to stand at work, which she had to do for hours on end. And I just was praying and really frightened for her, because there was also an issue with medical insurance and whatnot, and asking God to help her, and then saying, well, you can actually ask God point blank, show me what you are doing in my daughter's life, my son's life. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was that on the side, she was making soft sculptures of Doctor Who characters and science fiction characters, and she was enjoying that. And so I would encourage her in that, and encourage her to go to the doctor, of course. But what I saw over time is that she was doing so well with that side thing that she was able to quit her job, and now she can sit and stand and take care of her body while she does that job. So then it was a question of thanking God for what I saw happening.
Whoa. That's one. And you know, when they go through the crisis, the major crises in your in their lives, where it's obvious that God is calling them, even though they don't feel it and they're angry at God. One of the things I was told in my prayer life was, butt out. Pray, but butt out. You are not therapeutic in the situation. You're too much in love with your children. And he gave me an example. If you walked into an operating room where the doctor was operating on the heart of your child, would you take the scalpel from his hand and finish the operation? Your child would die. And the same is true spiritually. Don't take my scalpel from my hands and let your children go through what they must go through.
You mind if we steal that for the next book?
You know what?
Go right ahead.
That, John, that's so...
I'm writing it down as we
speak. Yeah. Okay. Well, John, that's a confirmation because I have to share something with everyone. I don't even know if I should, but I'm going to. I always got annoyed when I saw that my children didn't really have the Holy Spirit in them. And I always said to my wife, my beautiful wife and my mentor probably, I got to say something. And my wife always says to me the same thing. Bud out.
Yeah.
Don't say a word.
Yeah.
Joan, you were so right. And Dr. Palmer just confirmed it. I apologize.
And it's what John just said. If you keep on butting in, when it comes time for them to look for you, they'll be so angry you won't be able to talk with them. But if you allow the Spirit to do what it's doing in your children's lives, then there's hope that when they get the message, they'll come back to you.
Wow, John, that's a great confirmation, and it shows again how wise my wife is
and
how stupid I am.
Yes, she is.
Listen to
her. As a matter of fact, she might have some other wisdom for you.
Yes, she does.
I want to tell you, and a lot of people that I get in practice are very upset because of same-sex relationships that their children have, and they want to stop them. And I said, I understand where you're coming from. But you're not going to stop that. You pray that whatever God wants will happen. Don't stop loving your children because they're living in sin. Now, that's hard. But in time, most same-sex relationships break up after 3-4 years at the most. And then people will come back in that hurt and the grief, come back and look for God. And then you're there. You can still love them. You know?
Yeah, you know, it reminds me so much of our Heavenly Father, who gives us our, you know, independence and stuff, but he loves us so much, and he's just ready to accept us back if we want to go, and he's just waiting there. So our relationship with our kids remind us so much of God's relationship with us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very, very...
We're talking about your book, but please jump in.
You know what?
Two things that strike me as you're talking that has been very helpful for me. One is when I realized that although they were our children, they were my brother, my sister in Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
And that as they grew, the more important relationship was my child was my brother in Jesus Christ, my sister in Jesus Christ. That allowed me to let God take over more.
Yes.
I just was blocked at one point, and I couldn't do it until I saw that. And I think that really is a major, major thing. And it means that we're going to have to come closer to Jesus in order to help them come closer.
That's it.
So it means what's going on in my spiritual life. A good half of the book is about how do you help yourself to grow in your relationship with Jesus, to have a relationship where you pray every day for a certain amount of time, where you go back to the sacraments, where you, if you're able to, where you try to be part of a community, a faith community, so that you will have the support that you need. The other thing that strikes me, and this is a hard one, this is one that I've swallowed, and I find that is like swallowing hot charcoal briquettes, is that sometimes we are between God and our children so much so that the only way they're going to come back to God is when we die.
You know,
we do not want to hear that.
Yeah, no, that happens a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
I need to comment on something you said about a young person living in sin. You may feel that way, but that's not the kind of language that's helpful to them.
That's right.
Because they don't necessarily have the same spiritual understanding that you do, even though you think they might have been taught that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I think you, in that case, you would begin to pray for the person that they're living with on a daily basis, just like you pray for any other of your children.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that young people live online. And so if we're going to be helpful, or if we're going to even have the kind of relationship that they want, we need to do things like befriend them on Facebook.
And be there when they're in crisis. Just be there.
Yes.
Don't try to force where you are on them. I once, because I've had this with my children, so I can share it. You know, what makes you think that because I take care of you spiritually, that I would not take care of your children spiritually, even sometimes if they don't want to hear from me? Because of your faithfulness and your dedication and love of me, my love generationally is flowing through them as well, and they will return.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And basically, God's in charge.
Yeah, this is really good advice that I'm hearing today. It really is. And I think our listeners are going to be
Do you have insurance?
A little.
I know, I'm a psychologist.
One of the other things that I know is that sometimes we're saying, God, I want this to happen now. Or, God, I want this to happen soon. Well, there's a great, I think it's in 1 Peter, where it says, talks about what God, what soon means to God. To God, a day is like 1,000 years,
yes.
And 1,000 years is like a day.
Right.
And when we think that they should be coming back soon, whose definition of soon? My definition or God's definition?
You got it. You got it.
And it's always God's definition that we have to go by.
You know, Trevor, are you there? I would like to play a song for our children. It's a prayer. It's done by Jim Cowan. It's come into my heart. So why don't we ask God to come into the hearts of our children right now, no matter what age they are.
Submitted to the Lord. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord. Life to you, Lord.
I give my life.
Why don't we just stand in the presence of the Lord as we sing, "Take All That I Am, Lord." Just open up our hearts and our hands to the Lord. Ask the Lord to send His Spirit now upon us. Holy Spirit, come.
Please, Lord, on our children now. Listen, is be confident that the Holy Spirit is touching your children right now, even though you don't know what it's doing.
Absolutely.
What do you think, guys? Is that the right way to go?
I think we've touched a lot of souls out there. I think our listeners are getting a lot of information, and I think they can relate to the information they're getting.
Ask them where they can get the book.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Palmer.
Listen, to do that before, and
John
I cut him off.
He cut me right off. Now, give us the information. How could they get this book?
Well, the easiest way online is to go to Amazon.com mm-hmm. and to put in "Praying for our adult sons and daughters," and it will come up. And there's like reviews by people who have read the book, loved the book, used the book, taken it and gone and done all kinds of amazing things with it. I was just online the other day talking to a lady, and she says, I've given it to 10 of my friends who are going through the same problems that I am.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they keep using it. Another person said, you should probably buy one for yourself because I'm not giving you my copy.
By the way,
how much is the book?
I think it's on Amazon, it's under $10.
Oh, very good.
But the the cover price is around 11.
Yeah. Being familiar with Amazon, you could also put in your names.
I have
John 5 books. Yeah,
okay,
I have.
It will come up. Yeah.
I have 5 books on Amazon, and a lot of people just put in my name, and my books pop up. And they're inexpensive too, by the way. I got a commercial, Palmer.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You want to tell us what your books are about?
we'll do that another day.
But you know.
Well, I have to tell you that while we were praying with that song, I took a picture, a small picture of all of our children and ourselves, and John and I held hands with the picture between our hands as we prayed for them.
Oh, what a coincidence. John and I were holding hands while she was playing, too.
But unfortunately, we're children. Now, I know that your major work, this is a very important book that you've written. And I know that your major work is going to be marketing that. To any help we can give to you in doing that, please feel free to let us know.
Sure, absolutely. We'll put it on our website.
Good.
Excellent. Yeah, send us. And we also have a Facebook page.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that.
Go ahead. What is that?
It's John and Teresa Boucher again. You know,
B-O-U-C-H-E-R. B-O-U-C-H-E-R. Listen.
Right now, we're doing a countdown to moving.
Oh, okay.
Where are you moving?
We're moving from Princeton, New Jersey to Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you changed jobs?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad that you're moving around. Your influence has to be felt in many different areas of the country. You are a very, very special couple.
Really are.
And we just thank you so much. Yeah. You know, why don't you hang on? Because Tony does a saint of the day.
Yes, I do.
And I know that he would like to do it. Trevor, can you put the music on and for Saint of the Day?
Well, the Saint of the Day is actually somewhat related to what we're talking about, by the way, Palmer. I was hemming and hawing on what saint I should use, and then last night was the clincher. I was in the adoration, and one of our dear listeners came over and asked me what saint we're going to do today, and she says, is it going to be St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe? Because, you know, his feast day is the Virgil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it hit me immediately. I'm going to do St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe in honor of this wonderful person that I spoke to last night.
Wonderful.
So this is in your honor. I know you're listening, and I want you to know we love you. So Maximilian Kolbe, guess what? His mom always said to him, I don't know what's going to become of you. How many parents have said that? Because Maximilian Kolbe's reaction was, Mom, I prayed. This is like in reverse. Mom, I prayed very hard to Our Lady to tell me what would happen to me. She appeared holding in her hands two crowns, one white, one red. She said, if I would like to have them, which one would I pick? One was for purity and the other was for martyrdom. And I said, I choose both. She smiled, disappeared, and that's what he became.
Both.
He was ordained at 24. He saw religious indifferences as the deadliest poison of the day, and it is still the deadliest poison of the day today. His mission was to combat it. He had already founded the militia of the Immaculata, whose aim was to fight evil with the witnesses of good life. Isn't that what we're doing, Palmer?
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're trying, and that's what John and Teresa are doing also. So he did, and he became a Franciscan. But on the first day of September 1939, that Nazi leader, Adolf Hitler, ordered mighty German army to invade the country next door. And that was the country that St. Maximilian Kolbe was born, Poland. Among the thousands of Poles who were arrested was Franciscan friar Maximilian Kolbe. For a time, he, who was a priest, and his fellow priest were kept in tents in Germany. They would then return to Warsaw, the capital of Poland. But old Hitler had decided to give some freedom to the Polish priest if they would help the Germans by persuading the Polish people to grow food for Germany. Some German officers even said Maximilian could become a German if he would help him, which would mean he could live in safety. No, no, Max said. I'm proud to be a Polish, and I refuse. He was again arrested, this time by the secret police, or Gestapo, as we used to know them in our days, and kept in prison. Shortly afterward, he was sent with 300 other prisoners to railroad cattle trucks from Warsaw to the terrible concentration camps at Auschwitz. To keep his companions cheerful on the journey, he led them in singing hymns. On arrival, one prisoner was given a striped uniform, and then all prisoners were given striped uniforms and tattooed on their forearm with a number. Maximilian's number was 16670. So maybe he should be called Saint 16670. I don't know.
Secret agent X9.
There were signs of terrible suffering everywhere. Men, women, children wandered around the streets. The barbed wires were compounds that were holding. They were looking exactly like walking zombies. The prisoners were given little food, and they were that looked like skeletons. Because of this, and because of the violence of the guards, many prisoners died of weakness and hunger. For many of the worst thing about the camp was that there was no grass or trees or plants. The birds never sang there. The birds wouldn't even go there. They knew how horrible and evil that place was. Then one day in 1941, one of Maximilian's fellow prisoners escaped Block 14. The Germans were furious. They lined everyone up in that block. And they said, because he escaped, 10 of you will die. And so the commander walked down the line with a glee in his eye and a smile on his face. And he says, you. And he pointed to each one that were going to die. One of them says, oh, no. No, not me. I have a family. What's going to happen to them? And immediately Maximilian stepped forward as he heard this. He stepped forward very quietly out of the line, took off his cap, and stood in front of the commander. The commander was for a moment speechless. Then he yelled, what does that Polish pig want? And he says, I'm a Catholic priest. I'm old, I'm 47 years old. I'm ready to take that man's place because he's got a wife and children. The commander hesitated, and he says, why should anyone, he wondered, make such an offer? But then he waved to the Gestapo back and put the other guy back in line and took Maximilian to join the other nine that had already been chosen. They took him to Block 13. That was the starvation block. No clothing, they were stripped. They were given no food, no water, and stood in darkness. Everyone who asked for them or asked for any help was kicked to the ground. Slowly, one by one, they died. They starved to death. Five remained alive. One of those was Maximilian. He was the only one still conscious. So the Germans needed to use that block again for another group that were going to die. So the doctors were ordered to execute prisoner 16670 by giving him an injection. And he was the last of the companions to die. Maximilian said a brief prayer before he was asked to put his arm out, his left arm. He said that brief prayer and received that dose of death. The prisoner that was spared survived Auschwitz, and he lived for more than 40 years afterwards.
Wow.
So Maximilian Kolbe was another example of saints being made during World War II. Yeah. Last week we had Edith Stein. And now we have Maximilian Kolbe.
So he defied his mother's wish. He grew up to be something very special.
Very special. And also he refused. He died, literally, because he refused to give up his Catholic faith.
There you go.
And to become a German Nazi.
So even despite our parenting, we have our children as possible saints in the making.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Wow, so that was great.
That's the life. And To that lovely listener of ours, that faithful listener of ours, this is dedicated to you. We love you, and keep listening, will you please? Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
So, guys, we want you to give us your website, the name of the book, one more time. Now, listeners, please go get your paper and pencil. Hold on. Let's count.
Get off the table, will you?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Shoot, give it to us.
It's called Praying for Our Adult Sons and Daughters. And the publisher is The Word Among Us. And you can find it on Amazon. Or you can find it at johnandteresaboucher.com.
B-O-U-C-H-E-R.
Correct.
What about Facebook? Can they do anything on Facebook with it?
They can find John and Teresa Boucher on Facebook as well.
Okay.
We have on that events, what they call events, and every book that we've written you can find by scrolling down that page.
Oh, wow. Could I be a friend?
Sure.
You don't know what you're getting into. Now, okay. You know, Tony, I don't believe one shot of prayer is enough for our children. So, Trevor, we're going to ask you to, first of all, put on the song Holy Spirit Rain Down. And then afterwards, Teresa, John, Tony and I will pray for our children. We're praying right now, Lord, that the Holy Spirit touches them no matter where they are, even though they can't hear this radio show. Lord, we know you are everywhere. Touch them, Lord. Knock them. Can I be very polite? Would you give them a kick in the ass, please, Lord? Thank you so much.
By the way, I just found out that two of my children listen to the show.
Uh-oh.
And I think you found out yours listen.
Yeah, my
also.
Kids listen to one of them anyway.
Yeah, so we're getting somewhere.
Praise Lord. Make Praise that a little Jesus. Louder, Trev.
You never took those singing lessons I gave you the money for. You see that?
Come, Holy Spirit. Knock the hell out of our children. Get a hold of them and give them a talking to. I don't know, I'm enjoying the music. I hope you are.
Oh, yeah, you are. Get off the table, will you? Stop dancing on the table.
Celebration of your Paschal feast as soon as possible, Lord. Get them to confession. Get them to the Eucharist. Work your miracle of love in them, Lord. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Not soon. Now. I'm bossy. Doesn't work. Doesn't work, but I'm bossy.
I know a good psychiatrist if you want.
Prozac time is here again. Spirit rain. teach our children. Trevor, would you play that again, but softly, very softly in the background. Very softly. And now, Lord, we're praying for us. We're praying for parents. Give them the gift of patience, Lord, and perseverance in prayer for their children.
Open Lord, our eyes, Jesus, so amen. They can see what you're doing in your
amen.
Life.
Join us in prayer. Anything that comes into your heart, say it, because it's what a parent somewhere needs to hear.
Jesus, we ask you to reactivate all the gifts that were given to them in baptism.
Amen.
And Jesus, we turn this effort over to you. We know with you anything is possible. And we turn it over to you to send our children the Holy Spirit. We know eventually they will be back in your arms and giving you praise and glory and thanks.
Get us out of the way, Lord. Get us out of the way. Take the scalpel that we grab from you and put it back in your hands, Lord. Create a miracle in them. Change them, Lord. Touch them, Lord.
Father, forgive me for not being the best father. And help my children to forgive me.
Me too.
Me three.
And we pray for the mothers as well. You're as guilty as we are, ladies. Join in our prayer.
But
prayer.
You know what? They're much wiser than we are.
I know, but don't let them know that. Don't let them know that. Teresa, you didn't hear that.
Too late. You already heard it.
You already heard it. You confirmed it, Palmer. You confirmed it to me.
Lord, thank you for being with us.
We lifted our children up thousands of times when they were little, out of the bed, out of the crib, out of the car seat. Now we lift them up and put them in your arms.
Amen. Praise
you. Amen.
Dee 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 dee, la da da da, dee 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 dee.
And the end of that passage from Ephesians is, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And that, listeners, too, this is the way you talk to God. Yeah. You just put yourself in his presence and let what's in your heart come out. Miracles happen when you allow yourself to just surrender and give your needs over to the Holy Spirit.
And Jesus, we know our words and our prayers and our wishes have not gone unheard. We know you have received them. We know you're with us, because you did say when two or more are gathered in your name, you are with us, and we have many more than two gathered in your name. So we know that our wishes and our prayers are going to be answered in your way and in your time. We love you, Jesus, and we give you praise and glory.
And Trevor, we're going to close with Our God Reigns. Okay? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, two guys.
Our parents and children, because we bring the good news to you today. God's at work in your children. Good news. God's at work in your children.
You're in your hands, Jesus.
Amen.
And thank you, Teresa. Thank you, John. And thank you, listeners. We love you daily.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You guys are
turn
great.
It up, Trev.
Love you guys.
See you next week. And we're going to play that again and again and again so parents know our God reigns.
Necessarily represent those of the staff.